Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Shahzad Akbar, a Pakistani lawyer and co-founder of Foundation for Fundamental Rights, an organization representing victims of drone strikes in Pakistani courts. Welcome to Background Briefing, Shahzad Akbar.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you've been here in the United States attending a conference. Tell me about the conference.
I was here in D.C. actually attending a drone summit, which was organized by Code Pink, Center for Constitutional Rights, and British charity Reprieve UK, where all people around the world who are working on drones, be it lawyers or human rights activists, they gathered and shared their ideas and experiences with each other.
So was there a conclusion, some kind of statement or some kind of plan of action that came out of this conference and summit?
Yes, actually, there are many angles on drones which people decided they need to work on. There is one legal side of it which we are working on in Pakistan, and there was a need shown at the conference with that there need to be a consensus developed among a human rights lawyer in U.S. who need to bring litigation and cases in United States courts as well, and in other allied nations of United States who are working on either building drones or using drones or using drones for surveillance. And there was an activist campaign was also stressed to be launched, and then people were stressed to be work with their representatives in Congress or Senate to bring drones under some sort of vigilance of the Congress.
So I understand in Pakistan there's a very, very passionate response to these drone strikes, and I suppose it's understandable given that this is a country that's not officially at war, and yet it is. And I obviously want to discuss that with you, what motivates you. But I'd be curious to know what you think about what motivates Americans and other citizens, because it's clearly something about drones that a lot of people find morally reprehensible, and it provokes quite a passionate response, hasn't it?
Yes, and first of all, actually not every American is against drones. The recent survey told us that about 8 out of 10 Americans thought that drones are good, and I think that there's a reason behind that, because people actually do not have enough information about the human cost of drone use, and especially from countries like Pakistan and Yemen, where drones are being used on a larger scale and killing civilians. And that those stories need to get out so that the Americans can make informed judgment. But another area of concern for Americans is the surveillance drones, which are going to be used in future in the United States. And that is going to be one big issue of concern for Americans. So you put it this way, that if as long as you are not affected yourself, you do not pay that much attention to it. But now that Americans are seeing that drones are coming home, they are going to be used in the United States. So then it's becoming an issue of concern for them.
Again, I'm speaking with Shahzad Akbar, who's a Pakistani lawyer and co-founder of Foundation for Fundamental Rights, an organization representing victims of drone strikes in Pakistani courts. I spoke just a couple of days ago when the White House's counterterrorism advisor, John Brennan, made his announcement at the Woodrow Wilson Center, where he was essentially clarifying, if you will, the White House's policy on drones. And I spoke with a professor of law at American University, Ken Anderson, and I got quite a passionate response from a lot of listeners, because Ken Anderson basically made the argument that drones are actually, as weapons of war, they're among the most discriminating. When you fire an artillery round across a hill, you don't know exactly who it's going to hit. And when you fire a mortar bomb, likewise. What would your response to that argument be?
Well, drones' efficacy depends on human intelligence on ground, on what there's no doubt about the technology, that it's far more superior technology than the others. But if you look at the flaws in this technology, they are way more than the benefits in it. Because first of all, you're using drones in countries where you do not have much ground intelligence and human intelligence. And that is one vital point which you need to have to make a judgment where to strike, because if you're striking a point which is based upon faulty information, then basically your whole technology is of no use, because you're taking a target. You want to hit point A, but you're hitting point A, but actually you're not getting your results, and in the end you're just killing civilians. And that is one big problem with drones. And so therefore drones cannot be relied, because eventually they rely on human intelligence on ground.
But the fact that you can actually see what you are about to strike, as opposed to, you know, taking a chance and just following some coordinates on a map, if you, for example...
Yes, unfortunately, what we see on ground, we do not see face recognition. So, if, for example, if you're looking for Bin Laden, and if we see Bin Laden from a drone, we cannot see his face. All we would see some people, and we would be relying on human intelligence on ground that this person is Bin Laden, and we take this person, and then we find out that this person wasn't him, it was someone else. And this is, there are some challenges to drones. And the second thing about drones, which is very wrong, that basically U.S. is making precedent for other countries to violate international law and international borders and get into other countries who are not, you're not at war with. And then you take out whichever target you fancy. Let's suppose if China tomorrow decides that China needs to kill someone in the United States or in India, and then China takes out that target for whatever reason, good or bad they have, I mean, can we permit that? But now the question is that in future, would be able to stop it, because U.S. has set precedent in six countries.
Well, I imagine in a military sense, though, there's no difference between a drone penetrating your airspace and a manned aircraft. I mean, I imagine the reason that the U.S. gets away with it in penetrating, for example, Iran's airspace would be that the drones themselves are stealth. But it's not as if anybody, any country is going to accept a foreign aircraft flying over their territory. I mean, isn't that considered...
Yeah, I mean, this is only, I mean, okay, let's say the U.S. Is far more superior in technology and it will not let China in interfere in its airspace. But what about India stopping China and Pakistan stopping China, or India stopping Pakistan? I mean, there's so many more examples there which can actually trigger in world war. And this is a very dangerous trend. I mean, the point here is not that we want one country to be superior or the other country to be inferior, and, you know, which country can do things or cannot do things. But the law shouldn't be basing upon that. You have the might that you will take the drone down or not.
Well, again, I speak with Shahzad Akbar, Pakistani lawyer and co-founder of Foundation for Fundamental Rights, an organization representing victims of drone strikes in Pakistani courts. I wanted, obviously, to talk to you about some of the cases that you've brought to the Pakistani courts. But just to finish up on this, are you calling for some kind of international regime then, an arms control regime for drones?
Well, that's the broader question we are asking. But what specifically we're doing in Pakistani courts is, first of all, we're bringing criminal litigation against all those who are involved from CIA in Pakistan killing people, because according to our interpretation, they're simply committing homicide and they should be charged with murder. And at the same time, the cases we're bringing against Pakistani government is for their involvement in whatever sense they have. Either they have agreed to these drone strikes, because legally speaking, they cannot agree to killing of their civilians with a foreign state. And secondly, if they haven't agreed, then why they are failing for the last 7 years to stop these drone strikes in Pakistan? And thirdly, that if none of the above are in picture, then why Pakistan is not taking its claim to international forums and like United Nations Security Council or International Court of Justice or Criminal Court?
So specifically, who are your clients, or can you describe some of your clients?
We are representing civilian drone victims starting from 2004 who've been affected by drone strikes, and they are not militants. They are citizens of Pakistan that include women, children, and elderly. Some clients we're representing are as young as 14 and 16 years old. They're children of 7 years old who've been killed in drone strikes, who clearly cannot be militants. And these are the people whose cases we are taking to courts in Pakistan against CIA and Pakistani government.
Well, obviously, Shahzad Akbar, again, Pakistani lawyer and co-founder of Foundation for Fundamental Rights, an organization representing victims of drone strikes in Pakistani courts. We have to acknowledge that even though this is Pakistani territory up against the Afghan border, it's for all intents and purposes a war zone. And the Pakistani military, of course, is still furious at the U.S. strike on a base about which the U.S. feels that there was some justification in striking it. This has led to a breakdown of relations between the country. And as much as you're suing both on behalf of your victims, you're also suing the United States, the CIA, but you're also suing the Pakistani government for their complicity. At this point, the U.S. and Pakistan seem to be at loggerheads. My understanding is that none of the supplies to the war in Afghanistan are going through. There's an enormous backlog of supplies. And the most recent meetings that took place in order to, you know, solve this animus between these two countries, the talks themselves failed. So what's your understanding of where things stand in terms of U.S.-Pakistan relations?
Well, U.S. and Pakistan relations, they stand at a point where actually both parties do not trust each other. And but that doesn't resolve the issue which we are trying. Because first of all, when drone strikes started and they were actually targeting people here, and at that time Pakistani government was gloves in hands with the American intelligence agency, at that time it seemed right to them. And now they realize that since their soldiers were attacked by United States, therefore now they need to take up the case. Because our case here is that, I mean, we have all respect for those 23 soldiers who were killed by American choppers, but at the same time, you have to take up the case and the cause of more than 3,000 civilians who have been killed in these drone strikes. The problem is that we have this understanding that people think that if it's justifiable that can go out all war in that area, North Waziristan Agency, because the assumption is that all attacks in Afghanistan are just starting or they have linkage with that. But that does not give us right to go after the local and civilian population. It's failure, first of all, Pakistani government to not be able to put things in right place in that area. And this should be the American government preference while dealing with Pakistan, that they should be pushing Pakistani government to take out any elements in that area who are militants or who are helping against any sort of insurgency in any other country. But then at the same time, U.S. has to come up with some evidence against those people who are involved and of their presence in that area. Just, I mean, I think we will all be wise not to believe what ISI is saying and what CIA is saying. We just have to make decisions and analysis on basing upon evidence and hard evidence. And so far it has been allegation from one side on the other, and there is no hard evidence that which exactly party or location in North Waziristan is involved in any attacks in Afghanistan. So in absence of any hard evidence, I think the relationships between both countries will deteriorate. And I think another factor which is reason for deteriorating the relation at the moment is that U.S. is going to pull out of Afghanistan in 2014. They haven't really achieved anything in Afghanistan apart from destroying whatever was in that country. The only success U.S. has been achieved is to eliminate Al-Qaeda targets, but there were only a few dozen people who were threat to U.S. But the cost of getting those people were thousands of deaths in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. And now that U.S. is coming out of that, Pakistan needs to distance from U.S. And this is what Pakistan is doing right now, that Pakistan is distancing itself from United States because the unjust war which was fought in Afghanistan for 10 years with no positive objective achieved is a war which Pakistan thinks that if Pakistan needs to be an actor in that region, it needs to distance from the force which is considered a foreign occupying force in that region.
Well, but isn't that the basic problem, though, as long as the presence itself of the U.S. and NATO... Did I lose you? And it looks like we did lose Shahzad Akbar, the Pakistani lawyer and co-founder of the Foundation for Fundamental Rights, an organization representing victims of drone strikes in Pakistani courts. We'll try and get him back, but we'll move on now and we'll take a station break and be back in a moment speaking with somebody who was held by a jihadist group for 118 days.